Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's New Year's Eve meditation, application to our daily faith life, is Psalm 90. We're going to be reading in three sections, little sermonettes after each one. So I'll read verses 1 through 4. It's on the back of your bulletin. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, Return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. In Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and throughout every one of our tomorrows, dear fellow redeemed. How often have you heard someone say, Boy, time sure flies by. Or, the older you get, the faster time goes. It is amazing how quickly a year can come to an end. Not only is this year coming to an end, but a whole decade is now coming to an end. Tomorrow we begin a new decade of the 20s. Isn't that amazing? Well, at the end of the year, or when we celebrate our birthday, we sometimes are led to sense how responsible we are for the use of our time, of our actions, of our talents, of our life, and of our possessions. And so it's good for us to take time to reflect back on the failures and frustrations of the past, the sins and shortcomings of the past, and to seek forgiveness for unused and wasted talents and wasted time. It's also good at the end of the year to look back on the past year and see all the many, many blessings that God has showered upon us and give him thanks. It's also a good time to look forward with eager anticipation. To look forward and to think about what's going to happen in this coming new year. Well, may this little verse help us this evening as we look forward to the unknown 2020 and beyond. Yesterday, God helped me. Today, he did the same. How long will this continue? Forever. Praise his name. As we heard as we began reading the psalm, this is a psalm by Moses. It's the oldest psalm in the Bible, Psalm 90. And we've broken the psalm down into three parts, as we said, with a little sermonette after each one. The three parts are this, and they're in your bulletin as well. Number one, we see the brevity of human life and are led to appreciate the timelessness of God. Part two, our mortality is because of our sins, with which God is greatly displeased. And three, we seek forgiveness in Christ and are encouraged to become wise stewards of our time. The opening verses of this psalm proclaim the eternalness of God so that it contrasts with the mortality of mankind. But God's eternity is not simply to contrast with our mortality, it's to show us that it is the answer to our mortality. For since God is eternal and God is immortal, he alone can be the one dwelling place for all of his children throughout every generation. That refuge, that dwelling place, is a refuge, a company place with God, where all the chaos and all the change and all the decay in this world can't harm us because God is unchangeable. Every year we experience the rapid flight of time. We experience confusion, chaos, change, and yet God never changes. Before the world began, as long as the world stands, and many, many years after the world is destroyed, God is still the same. This eternalness of God is inconceivable and incomprehensible to us mere mortals. But in our psalm this evening, Moses gives us an example of what it was like. He says, "A thousand years in God's sight are like yesterday when it's past, and like a watch in the night." It gives a little bit of a picture of divine infinity. God's above time. God rules time. With God, there's no difference of time. With God, it's always today. It's always now. There's never yesterday. There's never tomorrow. There's just present. How awesome our God is. You read verses 5 through 11 of Psalm 90. "You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it's cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath, we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath." The real cause of our being carried away like a flood, or being withered like grass that's cut down, is not our weakness or injuries or illness or human violence. Those are the secondary causes. The real cause for death is God's justice against our sin. God did not create man to die. Man was created to live forever. But death is our life sentence. God had warned Adam and Eve that if they eat of that fruit and disobey him, they would surely die. Death would be their future. And yet they went ahead and disobeyed God and brought death upon themselves and upon their descendants throughout all generations. So now today, one generation goes, another comes, and it goes, another comes, and it goes, because the wages of sin is death. Death is the parting of the body from the soul. And when a person dies, that body returns to the ground it came from, and for the believer, the soul returns to God who redeemed it. Because of sin, the life of a human being, back in David's day and even our day, it's not really very long, 70, 80, maybe 90 years. But what's that compared to God's eternalness or even the history of mankind? And very often, human beings live much shorter than that. Infant deaths. People die in their youth, even in their young adulthood. And a life can be snuffed out just like that, in an instant. We hear about it every single day on the news. Compared to what life could have been if Adam and Eve would have continually and constantly obeyed God, our life as human beings is fragile, and it is short, like the life of grass. Growing one day, it's cut down, and it withers and blows away. Death is a judgment of God's wrath. And God's wrath has come upon us because of our sin. Because of sin, our lives are filled with sorrow, sadness, affliction, difficulties, illnesses, accidents, plague every single portion of our lifespan here on this earth. The evils of life are a daily reminder of the seriousness of sin and of the greatness of our God's wrath over against sin. You know, sin is much greater and much deeper than we can even comprehend. We don't see into sin's abyss, but our God does. We don't see the great debt that we owe our God, but our God knows. He sees our secret sins. He perceives our thoughts and our evil desires. He knows how deeply sin is rooted in every single one of our hearts. He lays upon us the judgment, which is death. Unfortunately, this real cause of death is hidden to the rest of the world. Unbelievers don't really know that it's death, or that it's sin, that brings about death. They don't really realize how serious sin is in every person's life. Only the believer can realize this, and only the believer can confess his sins and submit to the judgment of God's wrath. Every single death is a powerful preaching of God. A powerful sermon of the law that says, this person's death is because of this person's sins. That's why you'll die someday. That's why I'll die. Because we all have sinned. Moses has revealed in our psalm that the whole life of us, from the beginning to the end, is under God's wrath. It's indeed a mighty, powerful wrath of God that says, I condemn your sin, I hate your sin, and because of your sin, we all die. And Moses asks, who's aware of that? Who knows the power or the anger of you, O Lord? We have to say, not many people. In fact, many people try to suppress this knowledge. They try to ignore God's word as if there is no God, as if there really is no death. Or to others, God's wrath and punishment over sin is kind of excessive, kind of cruel, kind of unreasonable. And we don't even know the real extent of our sins. None of us have ever experienced hell or eternal separation, eternal death and damnation from God that will be revealed on Judgment Day. Sin is an offense to a limitless God, and therefore sin deserves a limitless punishment. Sin against God is proportionate to the seriousness that God looks upon sin. And for the guilty sinner, there is no escape. No escape except for God's grace. We read verses 12 to 17 of Psalm 90. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Moses concludes this marvelous introspective psalm with two main points. The first is a plea for mercy and forgiveness. We don't deserve to be forgiven. And yet we plead to God and ask for forgiveness through his grace, through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask for time on this earth to be able to learn about his wisdom so we can serve him all the days of our lives. Such labor and work of the Lord is what gives us really true joy. Only the work that's done for the gospel message and is done to spread the gospel, good news of Jesus Christ, lasts eternally. One life to live, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We pray that God will establish and bless our work for the gospel so that the fruits will be upon us, the fruits will be upon our children, and upon the generations yet to come. The second plea in these last verses is for understanding and wisdom. As we daily observe this sin and death all around us, God warns us to make the best use of our time of grace that he gives us, since death is inevitable. Scripture warns us against being like that rich man who lives for all the glories and the riches and the accumulated treasure of this earth, but he didn't give any thought to the needs of his soul. Since we only have one life to live, and that life is very, very short, we need to use it to gain the wisdom that God gives to us in his word. And that wisdom is believing that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So what is really enduring in this world? Time? Calendars? Clocks? They all rule our lives here on this earth, but they cannot hold us in bondage. For when Jesus comes again, we'll be set free from time and we'll live in endless joy forever in heaven because of Jesus' death and resurrection. In light of that, may every day of our life count for eternity. We have to value all that we do in light of life's brevity and eternity's endlessness. For even though death reigns here on this earth, one generation after another generation perishes, God's word and God's work continues through time. May our 2020 be such a year of gaining a heart of wisdom, making the best use of our time, and proclaiming that good news of salvation to others. Amen.